Web hosting for Lowdown Radio is provided by HostGator.com. Use the code LOWDOWNRADIO and receive $9.94 off your next hosting package. Eat up the competition at HostGator.com. You're listening to The Lowdown.
Hey everybody, welcome back to The Lowdown. This is episode number 14 of The Lowdown. Today is January the 6th, 2011. Happy New Year. And as always, I'm joined by my boy, Bobby Rogue. Bobby, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2011. Welcome back to The Lowdown.
Bobby Rogue is 2011.
This is like Raw is Jericho.
Raw.
Man, it's going to be a great show today. We are excited. There is a whole bunch of nerdgasms going on this week because our two favorite shows were on the same night. We're going to get to that in our main topic, but to start it all out, we're going to talk about the movies that came out this week. And of course, this is courtesy of whenitdrops.com, imdb.com, and apples.com/trailers. We're going to make sure we get all these links to the trailers posted up. And at the theater this week, we start out with Season of the Witch with Nicolas Cage, Ron Perlman, and Claire Foy. Bobby, have you heard anything about this movie?
I'm hearing that they're saying Nicolas Cage is stretching himself a bit thin. I will, however, go see it because anything that has the word witch in it, I am down. I love the old school movies. I love mystical stuff. I love just old, you know, noir type things. I'm also a big fan of Ron Perlman, aka one of the head original president of Sons of Anarchy. So yes, and anything that has knights, I am down because I am a big time Merlin fan.
You know, so this movie is about a 14th century knight who is supposed to be taking a witch to this monastery or something like that, and they're trying to get the witch's powers out. And you know, I took a look at the trailer, and it, you know, I don't know, man, it looked a little too trying to be Lord of the Rings, trying to be, you know, some old school, maybe 300 kind of thing. I don't know. I'm not sure about this one. I'm not sure I'm going to go see this one.
Yeah. So it looks like both of us are a little like, you know, you're not going to go see it. I think I'm going to go see it. But if I'm going to go see it, it's going to be at the first showing at 10 a.m. That's going to cost Bobby Rogue all of $6.
All right. The next big movie coming out this week, I guess the last big movie coming out this week, is called Country Strong. It's with Garrett Hedlund, Gwyneth Paltrow,
because I'm country strong,
and Linton Meester. It's about a country singer who got in a little bit of trouble with alcohol. She ended up going into rehab, and she's trying to make a comeback. You know, this is kind of a different role for Gwyneth Paltrow, and playing this kind of country singer with this country accent. And you know, it's one of those touchy feely, good, you know, it feels good kind of movies where somebody, you know, that's on top, falls, and then rises again. So, typical, maybe kind of chick flick. Bobby, what do you think?
I love chick flicks. I will be seeing Country Strong. Gwen Paltrow, you know, a.k.a. Pepper Potts from the Iron Man movies. I think she's going to do well. She's just coming off a fabulous role on Glee. You know, the Rainbow Coalition is going to love that. And Leighton Meester, this is going to be a new movie for Leighton Meester, because the last time I saw Leighton Meester, she was ejaculating a guy with her feet.
What movie was that in?
It was her personal home video movie.
Oh, one of those kind of movies.
So this is also a comeback one for Leighton. Leighton, good luck out there. I'm rooting for you. But hey, man, everybody knows country music is huge. Last year, Best Actor winner went to Mr. Bridges for his country movie where he made a comeback as an alcoholic. So I'm sure that it's a little copycat movie. But hey, chick flick, feel good movie. It's cold outside. Get a hot cocoa from your local Starbucks. Check it out. It should be splendid.
All right, Bobby, talk to me a little bit about what's coming out on DVD.
Machete. All right. If you're wondering, where have I seen that guy for the movie poster or DVD, you know, cover of Machete, it's because you've probably seen him in any gangster, mafia, you know, street thug flick ever. Danny Trejo, you know, I think he's like 60 years old now, finally gets a starring role. He stars in Machete. Machete in Spanish meaning machete. And wherever there's a machete, I can probably Bobby Rogue guarantee it, a lot of heads are going to get cut off.
You know, my favorite role for Danny is from Blood In, Blood Out when he played Apache, and he was one of the gang members in Blood In, Blood Out, and that's where anytime I see that dude, I think of that movie. You know, that's a movie we used to watch religiously back in the day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, Danny Trejo, I had the privilege of actually meeting him and shaking his hand one time. I was walking on Venice Beach, and he was working out at Muscle Beach. You know, short guy, but really strong guy, really nice guy. So I'm happy that he finally got a starring role. And for those of you that don't know, I'm sure the cult fans know, but Machete actually used to be, I believe, pieces of other Quentin Tarantino movies. So they were actually able to take something cool out of a Quentin Tarantino film and then, you know, make it into a full-on feature length. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then the next movie coming out on DVD is called Dinner for Schmucks. That's with, what's that guy's name? Carroll. Steve Carroll.
The good old 40-year-old virgin.
Yeah, yeah. So talk to me about this movie, man. I didn't see it when it was out in the theater. Did you check this one out?
Yeah, you know, it didn't do so well, you know, and this is Bobby, the Bobby Rowe Kohler of knowledge. Dinner for Schmucks was a remake. It's actually a French movie, which was a huge hit. It was about a bunch of people that would go to dinner, and they would make bets on, you know, who would do what or who would do who or what was going to happen during dinner, what the setup was going to be or what the punchline was going to be. So in en français, it was a spectacle. But in Americano, it was hands down. No.
All right, let's talk a little bit about what's in our Netflix queue. Bobby, talk to me about what's in your instant stream right now.
Salem's Lot, baby. Salem's Lot. I am still waking up with nightmares because I continue to see the scene where this crazy little vampire kid is floating with fog and hypnotizes a mother kid in his bedroom, and he floats outside of the house, knocks on the window, and enters his way in. I now, after watching that movie, was a little bit upset because that was a total ripoff that The Lost Boys did, because Salem's Lot obviously came first, and then The Lost Boys did the same thing with Jason Patrick and Corey Aim.
Right.
So I've got that on got that queued up on the Netflix. This one, Pee-wee Herman, you know, his first movie where he's looking for his lost bike. I don't know. I just have a fascination with Large Marge. So I've got that. And if you guys are huge followers of, you know, our podcast, which I know a lot of the internet nation is, last time when me and Carlos were talking, I stated that I would love to see remakes of the old school Hardy Boy, Nancy Drew mysteries. So as soon as I got off the phone, I checked it on Netflix. Sure enough, there it was. I am watching season one. I cannot believe that that show was made in the 70s. It is some good, good, good TV. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I have to check that out. All right, and my DVD queue is Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. I actually got that today in the mail. And believe it or not, I guess it's really not that big of a disbelief is that I didn't see it when it came out at the movie. So I'm going to check it out. I heard it sucked, but Transformers is just one of those kind of type of movies you got to watch at least once and get it out of your system. So I'm going to be checking that out on my new 46-inch flat screen and seeing how good it looks. And then on my instance queue, I'm going to watch District 9. I've had it in my queue for a while, but finally made it to the top and probably check that out this weekend and report back on the next lowdown.
Very nice movies. And for those of you don't know, if you go out there and have your little drinking games or, you know, little trivia quizzes, Bobby Rogue and Carlos were actually at one of the locales where Revenge of the Fallen was filmed. And that was the good old, space airplane museum in Virginia.
Yeah, it's the Smithsonian Air and Space Museum. That's right. That big SR-71 Blackbird that turned into was he the Fallen? That wasn't the Fallen, was it, in the movie?
He was one of the people.
Yeah So was, yeah, we were standing right next to that plane in that museum in real life. So kind of cool to see it in the movie.
No Decepticon decal though in real life. Sorry guys.
All right, we're gonna go ahead and move on to our main topics, because that's what this show is all about, is talking about the great sci-fi, great movies, TV that's out on in the world right now. And Tuesday was kind of an epic day in a nerd world, because you had the season finale, or I'm sorry, the series finale of Caprica, all five last episodes of Caprica ever, and V playing at the same time. So Caprica is going to take us a little bit to really dissect and get into it. So let's talk about V first, because V was just one episode. I think we can get it done real quick. Bobby Rogue, talk to me about V.
All right. V, I love it because I love sci-fi. I think that it is going to get canceled after the second season. I don't think it's going to make it. It originally had a 13-episode season two. It's now being cut down to 10. But, man, I like TV. I know what they're doing. You know, I talked about it. Whoever follows me on Twitter knows that I said, hey, I'm solely watching the first episode because I want to see Diana make her return. Diana was the first antagonist of the original series. She made a return in the last minute of the episode, totally popped for it. And now the Beastmaster, Mark Singer, he has been signed to come back to V to help drop the ratings. Unfortunately, original V fans, he is not coming back as Mike Donovan. He will be back as the, I believe, a member or the head of a secret organization, you know, wanting to fight the V's or something like that. So
remind everybody who the original Diana was and then who she was in this new episode.
The original Diana, it would be the equivalent of Anna in this episode. Who she is now in this episode is actually Anna's mother. So what you essentially have now is three generations of V aliens. You've got the future queen, who is, you know, Supergirl from Smallville. Then you've got the current queen, who is Anna, and you've got the previous queen, who is Diana, who shocked, you know, the world with the V episode back in the 80s when she frickin' took out a guinea pig and just ate it, and it was scrumptious and delicious for her.
So you know what? That's going to be very interesting, because Anna is the queen today, and you would assume that if her mother's on the ship that was the previous queen. But then you kind of wonder what happened. Why is her mother not the queen anymore?
Well, you know what? This is what I'm thinking, because in the first episode, and you people that follow V, you know, will know what I'm talking about. If you haven't followed V, please follow it. You know, throw it on your TV or your DVR through Comcast or whoever you have. But, you know, here's the thing is that, you know, they started showing a scientist who had discovered, you know, V skeletons, you know, underground, which leads us all to believe that the V's have been on Earth before. So I'm thinking, you know, the Queen Diana was on Earth before. I believe she was trying to use the phosphorus, you know, to actually mate people, and I don't think it went well. So they killed those people and they dug them up and they left. And I think now Anna has returned to finish what her mother started.
That's interesting. Yeah, because you know, you only caught a little glimpse of her mother at the end. And to be honest, she doesn't, the lady who plays Diana doesn't look much different than she did, you know, when what it's been 20 years already, or over, you know, almost 25 years since the original V came out. So she doesn't look that much different. She looks a little, you know, you can tell she's a little bit older, but she, you know, she looks pretty good still. And
she's 60 years old, and Miss Jane Badler looks pretty smoking hot still. Not that I would have sex with her. Well, maybe I would if I was.
I'm sure you would. But that being said, so you've got this whole little dynamic where based on the previews for the next episode, you see Anna hitting, we're going to call her Diana because we don't know her name yet. You see her smacking Diana around a little bit, and you kind of makes you wonder, because, you know, Anna's daughter is plotting against her to an extent, right? So it makes you wonder if Anna's daughter and her grandmother are going to team up and go to war with Anna herself. What do you think about that?
Ooh, that might be a good one. You know, we'll see. I did see the trailer where she slapped her. I kind of thought postpartum depression. But, you know, I think that if I was a woman and I was Diana, I would be a little mad with Anna, because essentially what she's saying here, you know, and it's something that Americans are against, is she essentially just wants to have an alien orgy with all the humans, you know, like free sex.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit about her second in command. So her second in command's kind of putting some doubts in her head about the different captains in the 21 ships that are on Earth right now. They brought all the captains together. She makes an example out of one of the captains, and he kind of gets this weird smirk on his face. You know, so what do you think the deal is with her second in command?
I still think that Marcus is Mr. What's his name?
Mr.
What was it? Mr. Hill? What, is that who it was? So-and-so. Oh, John May still lives.
Oh, John May. Yeah.
Because remember, man, these guys are not humans. These guys are reptilians. So I think that John Mays is actually Marcus in, you know, Marcus, you know, I guess, you know, organic skin. But actually John Mays.
So, you know, part of the last episode that we saw before the I guess it was the season finale for back in November, December, whenever it was. Actually, no, it was longer ago. It was like June, right?
Yeah, when Joshua was killed.
Right. So one of the last things we saw was Joshua being revived by Marcus. Yep. Now we come to find out Anna knew that Joshua has been revived, and all of a sudden he's got this memory loss kind of thing. He doesn't know what's going on, right? Yep. So is that real, or what's the deal with that?
You know, I'm still not sure, because at first, unless, you know, there's a, you know, Joshua clone somewhere, or he's faking it and he's still in league with Marcus, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, that is kind of a cool twist that, you know, Joshua was a good guy in the first season and all of a sudden his memory got wiped. And what if all of a sudden he becomes like a big, you know, big villain? That'd be pretty cool to see, too. I mean, it would be a nice storyline. But, you know, here's my message to all the writers and directors. You know, I know when I was there back in the 80s, you know, in the late 70s and in the 90s, you know, people loved watching a story unwind. Now it seems that if you write that type of show, that people don't want to see it, and you just get canceled so quickly if you're under, you know, maybe 5 million viewers. I mean, we're going to get into that with Caprica. You know, Caprica unfolded slowly, and now that all hell has broken loose, you know, now it's gone.
Right, right. So last thoughts on V. So yep. Give me your last thoughts on V, man. What do you think so far? The first episode, new season. What are you thinking?
I liked it. I loved Anna using her little tail to beat the crap out of somebody. I mean, yeah. That was pretty crazy, you know. Yeah. And when I thought he was dead, you know, to add insult to injury, she then stabs him through the heart, you know, from behind.
Right.
So definitely I thought that was crazy. I loved the twist where Anna came out and told everybody, "Oh yeah, the red rain, it's going to save the earth." Oh, really? You know, she just poured phosphorus all over everybody. I don't think that's earth saving, but she is, you know, right now on television. She's a great spin artist, such a great villain to watch. Very, very interesting. And man, you know, I don't know. Supergirl, you know, she's it's kind of weird because I know she's in league with, you know, with the Resistance, but you know, it seems that she seems to listen to her mom when it's time to have sex with Elizabeth Mitchell's son.
Well, you know, that's kind of the irony about the whole thing. So she's kind of caught in this gray area where she knows the right thing to do, but she still has this loyalty to her mother, and she's still doing a lot of what her mother's telling her to do. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out between the two. I mean, and, you know, they're definitely setting it up for this, you know, climatic war between the two. But maybe that's too easy. You know, maybe that's what everybody's expecting to happen, and they're going to, you know, give us a curveball at the end, and, you know, something else might end up taking place. I enjoyed this episode. I'm enjoying the season. I agree with you that I think a story like this is going to get canceled as well, based, you know, especially from what they did to Caprica, Heroes, Stargate Universe, all these sci-fi shows. You know, as soon as you got sci-fi attached to it, that's already almost a death mark in today's age, which is unfortunate. But I hope, you know, at least that they play the season out, and if they go ahead and do cancel it, that they give us a decent ending, and end it on a closure note. And whether that's good or bad is indifferent. But I can't stand it when they cancel a show and they just don't give us any closure on it.
Yes, if V writers, if you're listening, do like Caprica and give us closure.
Yeah, that's a perfect segue. So let's talk about Caprica and. 5 episodes in one day. The last 5 episodes of the series. Talk to me about Caprica.
All right. Caprica, last 5 episodes. Loved them. I urge people to not call it a series. Let's call it a miniseries, 18-episode miniseries, so we can see. Because let's go back a little bit, you know. The main thing about the Battlestar Galactica universe is that it's happened before and it's happened again. So that's just one of these timelines, you know. So it happened and it will happen. It happened here and it will happen again. But we saw some pretty cool things, you know. We saw, man, I don't even know where we should go. I think maybe we should go down with you know, go down the character list and then maybe discuss their fates, right. You know. But basically what you did see is, you know, we got to see the birth of the Cylons. you know, we got to, you know, learn a little bit more of other, you know, other planets and what their cultures were like, you know, like the Capricorns and the Taurans. You know, we got to learn about, you know, the intergalactic mafia, you know, run by the Gutrao. So that was pretty interesting. And we actually got to see, you know, the first skin job, you know, for this Battlestar Galactica timeline, which was pretty cool, which I think is going to be a perfect setup, you know, for Blood and Chrome. And, you know, it actually, you know, puts these characters in a position to actually guest star or appear in Blood and Chrome now. So, I mean, where do we start? I mean, should we start with, you know, the good twist, which I believe is one of the best. Well, it was actually a ripoff, but it was a great twist in Battlestar Galactic. Anyways, let's talk about little William Adama.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, that's like the biggest thing, right? If you're a true Battlestar fan and you saw what happened, you're like, what just happened? Right.
What just happened to little Willie Adama? Or I think during the season, we were like, what the hell's happening with Willie Adama? Because he's with his uncle and his uncle's corrupting the hell out of him.
Right.
You know, is this really the guy with that great of a moral compass? You know, is this the Willie Adama? Like, what happens in his life that makes him change? Well, I think we saw what happened that made him change. But it wasn't Willie Adama who changed. It was, you know, the elder Adama who actually changed, who then probably, you know, raised, as we saw, the new Bill Adama. You know, Torin tradition, you know, one boy goes down to the soil, the rebirth, you give him the same name. Pretty cool. Pretty nice twist, huh?
Yeah. So, and I was on the same boat as you. I saw this, this new Will Adama as a kid, as a, you know, 10-year-old kid or whatever, or 14-year-old kid walking down the path of a gangster uncle, wanting to be cool, wanting to be in that life. Making some bad choices, maybe at odds with his father. And it kind of didn't feel like that was going to be Commander Adama and eventually Admiral Adama of the Battlestar Galactica we all know and love. When he got shot in the story in the last episode, I was like, okay, he didn't really die. You know, I had thought that they were setting up the Gutrao, that as soon as they killed the Gutrao, that he was actually going to come back. They had sent him back to Tauron, but he was actually alive and all this stuff. And then they're like, it's been 2 years or 3 years since his death. And I'm like, holy crap, he really died. You know, I mean, how are they going to justify it now? That being said, I have not finished watching the original Battlestar. I'm almost at the end of season 2.5. So in my head, I'm like, if they just spoiled it for me and this just told me that Bill Adama's on Cylon, I'm going to be pissed off. Right. Because at that point, I thought I was like, holy frack. Bill Adama's a Cylon, right? Because I haven't, keep in mind, I haven't seen Battlestar yet. I haven't seen the end of it yet, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
So they go back and then at the very end, and they show this young boy with the blue eyes, and I'm like, oh, that's how they did it.
And then they call him Bill, and they you're like, oh, Bill. My God.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's cool because the elder Adama, Yusef Adama, you know, probably after all hell broke loose, decided just to raise a good family.
Well, and that's the
like
other,
he originally was when the series started.
Right, and that's the other part of the story, right? Because the only thing that so far of what I've heard from the older Bill Adama in Battlestar Galactica was that his father was a great civil rights lawyer, right?
Yep.
But in Caprica, his father is the mob boss's lawyer. You know,
yeah, he actually started off as a good civil rights lawyer, and then all of a sudden went back into the dark side because the mafia actually, you know, funded his education, so he had to do what they said.
Right, right. So he, you know, all of a sudden he's this bad guy playing this mafia guy, and I'm like, how does he get out of that? How does that, you know, turn around? And I'm like, well, maybe the Bill didn't know his father, and his father ended up dying as a kid, and that was the other reason I knew his father wasn't going to die in Caprica, because there wasn't any indication that I've seen so far in Battlestar that said his father died at a young age. So, but it made sense, you know, they fixed or squared away everything with the Gutrao. I still can't believe that the Gutrao's own daughter turned against him, you know, and kind of set him up at the end.
Because she wanted the power.
She wanted the power. And how symbolic was it that, you know, the two Adama boys killed the Gutrao, they took the ring off. And technically at that point, because they killed the boss, they could have taken over the entire family if they wanted to.
That was something that I was going to talk about, is that, you know, if little William Adama wouldn't have not died and all hell would have broken loose, that would have been one way to go with the storyline. And on a different timeline is that, you know, the Adamas, you know, did not become, you know, the one of the saviors of Earth during, you know, one of the Cylon Wars, you know, but they were actually, you know, a very powerful, you know, mafia.
Right.
Because they essentially would have killed that chick also, who is now the Gatrao. But it was but it was clear to me that Yusuf Adama loved her. You know, they grew up as children in love.
Right. Yeah, but still, it was her father. You know, I mean,
yeah.
But at that point, you know, she wasn't agreeing with what he was doing and the decisions that he was making, and ended up costing him his life. But
it was a great kill scene. It was a great kill scene too. You know, take him to the V world and then kill him in real life while he's focusing with his little goggles or whatever they call them.
The interesting part, and maybe it's I just got to watch more Battlestar, but they focus. Of course, Caprica focused a lot on Caprica and Toron and what that really meant and the culture behind both of the stories, but. You know, so far of what I've seen of Battlestar Galactica, they never mentioned once that Bill Adama was from Toron. Like, it doesn't even come up at all.
Nope, it was brand new. We never even knew that until we started reading about Battlestar Galactica coming, is that, you know, he was embarrassed to be from Toron. You know, the reason that, if you notice the first couple of episodes, his name was not, Yusuf, Adama. It was Yusuf Adams.
Joseph Adams, yeah.
Yeah, Joseph, good old Joe Adams,
right,
you know?
Right. But still, yeah, they never mentioned it, Battlestar at all. In fact, they very rarely mention Toron even as a planet in Battlestar. They talk a lot about the other planets, you know, between Caprica and Geminon, especially Geminon. They talk a lot about Geminon. But yeah, they don't even mention Toron. I think it came up, you know, in the episode where they got the arrow of Apollo and they were on Kobol and they said something about, they didn't even call it Toron, they call it Taurus, you know? So, yeah, you don't hear a lot about Toron, which I thought was interesting. But yeah, the way that spin was and the way that kind of they threw that curveball. But as soon as I saw the little kid with the blue eyes, dude, I was like, holy crap, that's awesome the way they did that.
It was completely awesome. The last 5 minutes was just such a sweet ending, such a perfect ending, you know? It sucks for, and I was a fan too, like Lost fans or, fans of The Sopranos or stuff like that, who wanted to see like kick-ass endings to their series and they left unhappy or asking questions. I didn't have any questions. When Caprica ended, I was like, hell yeah, you could move on to another timeline.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about how the whole ending happened, because I got a few thoughts on how that happened, and some stuff that I read last night makes me kind of rethink that whole thing. But let's move on to another big character. Let's talk about Zoe Greystone. So, to be honest, in my opinion, the whole reason the show didn't work and a lot of people didn't stop watching it was because of how the whole origin of the Cylons came to be. What did you think about the whole Zoe Greystone Cylon origin story?
You can, number one, she's hot. Number two, if I was a writer for Galactica, I can now tie, based on how the story ended, you know, people are saying, well, wait a minute, she's not one of the final 12, even though they're claiming she was the first skin job.
Right.
You know, she's not one of the final, she's not one of the 12, she's not one of the 5. So who is Zoe Greystone in this timeline? And a lot of people were saying, hey, that was left unwritten. And I am saying this is not so. And you heard it first from Bobby Grogue. I can tell you who Zoe Greystone is if I was a writer for Battlestar Galactica. You know, think about it. She was the Cylon hybrid on the mothership. That's who she is. Carlos, as you're watching Battlestar Galactica, you're going to see who that person is, you know. But, you know, she was the first skin job. She was the first Cylon, you know. But Zoe Greystone had another agenda, and that she was hiding information from Sister Clarice. And that is one of the words that when Carlos first texted me last night, I was like, what's he talking about? I'm still watching the episode. That is, I am God. And then pretty much sent, you know, all the – you know, STO to hell.
yeah. And you know, the interesting part of that is you saw Zoe turn the heaven that Clarice built to rubble, and she basically turned it to hell.
And you will see that heaven again in BSG.
But, you know, she basically turned it to hell, and all those avatars that died as part of the, you know, they were trying to blow up the stadium, went away. I mean, there was nothing left of them, right? So, But yet Clarice, after all that happened, she was the one, kind of the instrumental part of the Cylons rebelling, according, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you read into it correctly, Clarice was the instrumental person who convinced the Cylons that, hey, you shouldn't just be serving humans. You know, you're your own people. Right. So in the end, Sister Clarice did get what she did, kind of get – well, she did. She got what she wanted, you know, which is power. But she just didn't get to become Blessed Mother because that went to Lacey Rand.
And that was pretty –
which was actually a pretty cool story.
Right, right. And you know, they set that up so you know, they can take parts of that whole storyline and into Blood and Chrome and kind of play it out, because, you know, there's still a lot of questions on, you know, why did the Cylons rebel, and why, what was Clarice's motives behind making them feel like they were sentient beings? And, you know, why did even after Zoe turned on her and she knew Zoe was the first Cylon, that, you know, why did all that still happen? And what happened to Lacey after she became the Blessed Mother and that kind of stuff? Because, I mean, she had something to do with it too, because the Cylons were basically at her command, you know?
Yep, exactly. For, you know, going back a little bit, first of all, I thought it was cool that Zoe was looking out for her best friend, that, you know, her words, you know, were identified by, you know, Cylon software, you know, to listen to her. I thought that was pretty cool. Hence, you know, she ended up becoming Blessed Mother instead of Sister Clarice.
But they never really explained that, though, that was really Zoe doing that. I mean, we're just making an assumption here that Zoe made that programming happen.
Oh, very true. Unless the one true God actually made it happen. Oh, yeah, that can be debated. Yeah, that's a nice point. And man, there's so much. I'm just so excited about it. You know, one of the things too was, you know, we were always told that, you know, that the Cylons were like servants, and that they did the jobs that human beings didn't want to do. But from what I saw in those last 5 minutes, is the jobs that the Cylons were doing weren't that bad. I mean, they were awesome Marines. You know, they were recognized by the human race. I don't know if you saw that that memorial statue of Cylons.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I did. I caught it.
Yeah, because of what they did in the arena, which tells me that those Cylons died when they basically jumped on the grenade or the bomb, you know?
Right.
And saved all those people.
Right. And then the other thing, too, is the fact that Clarice was... she wasn't arrested. She was still free, and she was preaching to these Cylons... machines that, you know, they deserve a better life, you know. So what, you know, so there's a whole, and then of course you see Daniel Greystone and Amanda Greystone, and they still bought all these machines out. But at the end of the, you know, before all that last part of the episode happened, they were being arrested for being terrorists, you know. So there's a whole, you know, there's a lot of story in between there. Like, okay, so what happens after they got arrested, and what happened, how come Clarice never got caught, and why was she able to do what she was able to do, and was there ever, you know, I'm sure she didn't appreciate having to answer to Lacey. So was there ever anything between those two, you know, as far as, you know, the bid for power amongst the Cylons, you know?
Yeah. And I loved it when Sister Clarice went to go see Lacey as the Blessed Mother for the first time. And she's
I think you need to kneel.
Kneel. I was like, awesome. Especially since Lacey Rand at the beginning of the series had no idea that Zoe or her boyfriend were STO, or for that matter, Sister Clarice, because of the private school they went to, that, you know, preached, you know, all the gods.
One thing I had a big issue with, and I started thinking this through, and I'm not sure I have a huge issue with it as much anymore, but, you know, they had already mentioned the skin job, right, and kind of planted that idea in your head that would eventually lead to the silence that we knew in BSG. I didn't really like the fact that they actually performed the first skin job in this episode. And because she came up out of that water or whatever solution or whatever that was, and she basically looked like a perfectly human looking Cylon.
Yep.
And when you think about it, there's supposed to be 40 years between the events of Caprica and when Battlestar Galactic, basically the second Cylon War, right? So I would have had a better, timeline continuity wise, I would have been more okay with it if she would have came up and she didn't look exactly quite right. Her skin wasn't exactly looking more human, you know, but you could tell that eventually it would get there. You know what I mean?
And the cool thing was is that when they first seen her coming out, which they had never shown in the Battlestar Galactica series, is that, you know, she came out kind of digitized and then, you know, completely turned into a skin job.
Right.
And I think that just goes back to my theories that I'm kind of hoping that she wasn't a perfect version, you know, which then they just said, well, you know what, you know, as a skin job, she's not a perfect version, but internally, you know, as a hard drive, she's this wealth of information, which then I think she, you know, you do make her truly the first, you know, human / Cylon hybrid.
Right.
And then you connect her to the mothership of the Cylons, which is essentially, you know, how you begin resurrection.
Now, when I was thinking through it, though, and where my argument loses a little steam is the fact that in Battlestar Galactica, the Cylons in human form had actually been infiltrating all the 12 worlds many years prior to that second Cylon war happening, mm-hmm. many years prior to the nuclear holocaust that they caused.
Yes.
So part of my argument goes away in thinking through that is, you know, because they were saying, like, with Boomer's character, you know, she had been on Galactica for 5, 6, 7 years or something like that.
Yes.
So when you think about it, if the Cylons implanted all these human-looking Cylons in a bunch of different strategic areas of all the colonies, so then the skin job at that point in time makes a little bit more sense. Like, they had the technology way back then, and maybe there was a point where they perfected it and they were able to plant all these Cylon agents mm-hmm. that look like humans. So that's where I was kind of like, maybe I'm okay with the whole skin job in Caprica. But I still think they could have did a little bit better of not making it look so real and making it look a little bit more fake, because you knew eventually they were going to get to the point where it looked completely real and as the human looking Cylons that we know from BSG.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I hope that we see some of those answers in Blood and Chrome. I mean, we're going to see a young, you know, Bill Husker Adama. You know, there's definitely opportunity for you know, Sister Clarice and Lacey Rand to make an appearance and here's another one too, you know, good old Doc Caudle. Remember the name Caudle helped, you know, the Greystones, and Caudle appears in the Battlestar Galactica series, you know, as the same age as older than Adama. So you will see him in Battlestar Galactica pretty soon too, Carlos, as you're going through the episodes.
Doc Caudle, huh? So that's not the same doctor that's like that saved Adama's life after he got shot and helped save.
I think that's him, because that was young, because they that doctor yesterday, or, you know, the last episode of Caprica, they called him Doc Caudle.
And which doctor was he again?
He was the guy that they went to the park and they sat next to him and they were like, all right, this is what you're going to do with the computers.
Oh, right.
That's Doc Caudle.
But he's a medical doctor in BSG.
Well, they never said what kind of doctor he was.
That's
here.
True. I didn't even catch the same name, man. That's wow. Yeah, I did not catch that at all.
That's why I'm Bobby Rogan. You're not. All right. I got to bring up a couple of things. Well, actually, did you want to cover a couple of other characters? I mean, you know, the Greystones obviously created the skin job. I did want to know what happened to Adama's brother. They didn't say anything like that.
Right. And you know what would have been? It's because I was watching Battlestar today, and I started thinking through. So William Adama had two kids. He had Lee Adama, and there was another son, and I can't remember his name now.
Yep, he died.
Yeah, he died, right? It would have been interesting if they would have made his uncle, instead of being Samuel, maybe his uncle's name was Lee, and then Lee Adama was named after his uncle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would have been kind of cool to kind of tie it all together. But let's get a little bit into that very end, right? So prior to knowing that the 5 episodes were coming out, and I knew that the show was canceled, I had hoped that Sci-Fi or whoever the producers were of Caprica was going to go back and they were going to maybe reshoot some scenes and kind of tie it all together and make it a definitive ending. So when I saw the last episode the other day, it seemed like the last 5 minutes or so, you know, where they kind of jumped through a whole bunch of stuff at once. You know, they speeded up the timeline. You saw the Cylons. You saw Clarice hyping up the Cylons. You saw the skin job. It all happened within a 5-minute period at the very end of the episode. So in my head, I'm thinking,
other series?
Well, no, not so much other series, but this is where they went back and reshot some stuff. Because especially because Zoe didn't look exactly the same as she did for like in the scene before. You know, it looked like they were just a little bit different. And I was like, okay, so they took this last 5 minutes and this is what they reshot so they could end the series on at least a definitive closure note, right? But then I come to find out that when Sci-Fi canceled Caprica back in November, they stopped showing episodes in the U.S. They actually continued to show the last five episodes in Canada. So the Canadians saw the end of the series before the U.S. did.
Yes and no. So yes, the Canadians saw the end of the series before American television. But the DVD was released either last week or a few weeks ago, and then those final episodes were on the Caprica DVD.
Yeah, but the last five episodes that we saw on Sci-Fi on Tuesday.
Yeah, those had already aired.
Those five episodes were aired in Canada back in November.
Correct, and I think American studios are still pissed at the Canadians because the Canadians said, screw you, we're airing them.
Okay, so in the episodes that the Canadians saw, did that last 5 minutes of the last episode show up? Was that
That's a good one. That actually, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say yes, because when I had spoken to you and I had said, hey, you know, they're going to burn off the rest of the episodes. You're going to have to manually set your DVR. And I had already been telling you, like, I already read how it ends. Yeah, you said you knew
the story, right?
Yeah, I knew the story. You know what? Now that I go back and think of it, yeah, I had already read the ending. So
I mean, but I guess the question I would have is, if they knew, like, they really ended this series before they got officially canceled then. I mean, if they had originally taped that last 5 minutes like the way they did, they were burning the series anyways.
Yeah, you're right. Or it would have been, you know, one hell of an ending to season two. And man, everybody would have been super pumped for season three, right, to see exactly where the storylines were going to go. At that point, I think, though, that either they would have said, you know what, season three is going to be the last season. I mean, if you really think about it, the original Battlestar Galactica 2 only lasted 4 seasons, they said, from the very start. So, I mean, we're talking, you know, what, 13 episodes each season, you know, not many.
Right. Right.
So that's the cool thing that I do like about, you know, the BSG writers is that, you know, when BSG first came out and they did the miniseries, they said, we're going to do 4 seasons. So from the very start, we knew that we were going to get 4 seasons of Battlestar Galactica.
Right.
Which was pretty cool. I'm excited that they're doing another spinoff. I mean, I'm not a Star Trek fan, but I am aware of all the Star Trek spinoffs, and it looks like Battlestar Galactica is going that route. I hope they continue to do spinoffs.
Well, you know, I'm excited to see. I mean, because the universe is enormous, right? I mean, there's so much. When they rebooted the series from the original, there was just so many ways to go through it. You know, there's so many. There's a ton of series that they can go through to really talk about what the stories of this huge Battlestar Galactica universe. What I'm worried about this new series is, number one, Caprica didn't do so hot. And right away, that's already kind of a bad omen for this new Blood and Chrome series. Now, granted, it's a different timeline, and supposedly Blood and Chrome is going to get back to more of the BSG roots. The writers purposely went away from BSG for Caprica. They wanted, because they were trying to reach a more of a female demographic at the same time, and it just didn't work for them. The one thing that I am worried about is, honestly, the title Blood and Chrome sucks.
It you know what? It really sucks. I mean, you hear the title Blood and Chrome, I start to think, like, what is this? Is this a movie about biker gangs killing each other?
Right, right. You know? And you already know, like, in your head, you're like, oh, this is going to fail.
yeah. You know, hopefully by, October 2011, maybe, you know, it rolls off the tongue better. Maybe they'll change the name. That would be pretty cool. You know, but here's also, you know, BSG or Blood and Chrome might have a huge following, because let's remember, you know, Battlestar Galactica on the big screen is slated to come out, you know, sometime this summer, hopefully.
Right.
So, but again, we're talking about a different timeline. It's going to be similar to Star Trek. They're talking about that the BSG movie that's going to the big screen is actually going to be based either on a completely new timeline or on the original timeline. Right. You know, which back then was Baltar and some reptilian leader actually were the people who built the Cylons.
Right. All right, man. So give me final thoughts on Caprica. Series is over. What do you think?
I love the series. Big sci-fi. I can't wait now to see Husker 20 years later in Blood and Chrome. I am going to probably right now go back to Netflix and watch more Battlestar Galactica. I love talking about it. I love reading other people's blogs about it. Big fan, you know. And for people that hated Caprica, hey, they gave it a shot. The first ever sci-fi, you know, soap opera, you know, wasn't such a hit with the masses, but it was for people that know what true sci-fi is.
Right. Yeah. My final thoughts on it is I'm happy with the way it ended. I'm glad it actually had some closure in the ending. You know, I was really worried that it was going to go the way of, you know, Sarah Connor and Heroes and all these other shows that get canceled and you really don't get a closure type ending. But I'm glad that they did. They wrapped it up very nicely. They wrapped it up so you can see how it's going to affect the other shows, even though, you know, especially with Battlestar now and how it opens up this whole entire world for Blood and Chrome. Overall, I'm happy. I'm like what they did. I like the curveballs they threw at us, especially the whole Bill Adama curveball. Looking back, I think that what killed it was the Zoe original Cylon story arc. I don't think that just worked for people. The whole Avenging Angels thing didn't work for people. You never saw what really happened to Tamra in this, and that's one of the kind of the big things that they didn't close on. So, overall, I give it a 9.5 out of 10 in my book. I definitely gonna probably rewatch it on Netflix, and it just reinvigorated me to finish watching Battlestar Galactica. In fact, my wife, who had not been watching Battlestar with me, and she's just heard me, you know, nerding out about it. I actually got her to start watching Battlestar today. She was watching the pilot episode on Netflix streaming, you know, not an hour before we started recording tonight. So get her all up to speed, and hopefully we get to the point where we're on the same episode and we can finish watching Battlestar and kind of see how it's all tied together. So, I'm grateful for stuff like that. So, you know, overall, good. I'm glad. I got to see it. I'm glad they made a series out of it. I'm sad to see it go, but overall, it was pretty freaking good.
Freck yeah!
All right, we're getting down to the end of the show, and our last little segment is our website pick of the week. So, Bobby, do you got a website you want to share?
Zillow.com. Z-I-L-O. Oops, I'm sorry. Z-I-L-L-O-W.com. Go to Zillow.com, folks. I know the economy is in a rut, even though supposedly we got out of the recession a couple of years ago. Especially you homeowners, or if you're thinking about buying a house, you know, go to Zillow.com and get a better picture of what the house is worth or what you think you should be paying for it. Zillow.com particularly is a hot news item right now because they have estimated that the White House has lost millions in value as of late.
Yeah, that's funny. I was watching or I saw some stuff on Twitter about that all of a sudden the White House of value depreciated.
How does the White House lose value when it's what do you call that? You can't put a value on the White House. You know, we're never going to sell it.
Right.
At least I hope we don't.
Yeah, Zillow.com is good. I definitely use it in the past, and I take a look at it every so often to see what my house is worth. So good website, good pick. All right, my website pick of the week is copyblogger.com. So I'm one of my other lives I have, I'm an editor-in-chief of a newsletter and a web-based newsletter, and I'm always looking for ways of generating better content, new content, you know, catchy headlines and making people come to this website to read the stories that we post on it. So copyblogger.com is a big content, how to write better content, how to write better headlines. It's teaching me every day so much on how to be a better editor, how to drive more people to the site, how to make a little bit of money off the site and that kind of stuff. So it's definitely a website that I look at every single day and I look through all the archives and all the old articles that they have on there. So check it out, copyblogger.com. Definitely recommended by Lowdown Radio. Those guys do a great job over there, and I'm happy to share that with the world because it's definitely something that I've learned a lot from. All right, everybody, if you'd like to learn more about the Lowdown, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/lowdownradio. Follow Bobby Rogue on Twitter, twitter.com/BobbyRogue, and I am at Carlos Frevert. Bobby, Any last thoughts before we end episode 14 of the Lowdown?
For you BSG nerds, all I gotta say is end of line. And for you V nerds, all I gotta say is Bobby Rogue, always.
All right, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we will check you out soon for episode number 15.
This has been a Lowdown Radio production. To listen to all of our shows, please visit our website at lowdownradio.com.